Sister Tori made mention of, I liked how that she brought the youth in with all that knowledge about the missionaries, and then she said, that's kind of cool. I'm thinking it's kind of cool that I got the first sermon that came out of the new building today, and probably hang on to that one for a little while. I think we're in this building 16 years, 17 years. And Pastor said when we built it that in about 15 years or so, we'll be stepping over into a new building. I missed it by a little bit, but not so bad. And so God has come through once again. And He will come through again. Amen. It gets easier to believe His promises the more He keeps them. And He has kept every promise that He has promised us. Everyone. He said that He can keep those that are committed to His hand. And so before today is over, I hope everybody here is committed to His hand. Praise the Lord. All right. In honor of the Word of God, thank you for standing. Proverbs 23, verses 3 through 7. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. It's talking about, everybody say, the world. Labor not to be rich. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me closely. That right there is a snare. It is an absolute snare. So be very, very, very careful, because I promise you, with the rich, enough is never, ever enough. And then it said, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? In other words, that which is make-believe and not even real. Sounds like Hollywood. For riches, again, it's mentioned, certainly make themselves wings. And that stuff just flies away. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats again. My, my, my. So the presence of the Lord is here. The Spirit of God is here. And the voice of God is telling us not to desire the world, not to devour. That's not just talking about real bread and pork chops, barbecue. Don't go anywhere. I won't be long. Then you can get your pork chops and barbecue. But it's talking about devouring the things of the world. Amen. Be careful. Be cautious. Be spiritually minded. Because in all these things, there's danger out there. And it could have started with good intentions, and then it turns into something totally different. So we need to be very careful. So here's what I want to preach for a little while today. And that is simply this. Years ago, I got this thought. It's never left me. But there was a gentleman that did a funeral. And at the close of the funeral, at the graveside, someone said he always closes it. He closed it that day. And then someone said he always closes it with these last words. And he says, be careful on your way home. I don't even know if he's aware of what he's really saying. But at a funeral, his last words are, be careful on your way home. Because the day of our funeral, it's over. We are where we're going to be for eternity. But right now is the time that we can take up some precautions and develop some carefulness about our journey on the way home. So, Pastor wants to preach a little while this morning on a subject entitled, Be Careful on Your Way Home. We're on our way home. Let's be careful. Let's pray about it. Jesus, we love, we lift, we honor, we praise, we exalt, we magnify, and we glorify the name of the Lord. Master, I praise you for every individual that is in the house of God today, for they are precious in your sight. A fingerprint, none other created like them. A specialty item that you created, Lord, for your personal service and usage. I pray in the name of the Lord today that you would bless them, move upon them, and encourage all of us to come closer, Lord, that we can express extreme caution as we live in a world that knows not their God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody shouted amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Be careful on your way home. The scripture talked about the fact that it's not real. It talked about the fact that it could be a facsimile. The enemy can do that. Facsimile means a replica of that which is real. Let me tell you what a facsimile is. It's a group of fruit sitting on a table that is plastic. It looks delicious, but I wouldn't advise that you eat it. Only the Lord has the real thing. Amen. Only the Lord has the real thing. The enemy can advertise his fashions. He can advertise his Hollywood. He can advertise all of the sports and all of that business. And people can get excited about that. But whatever you do, do not make that your God. Because that is a plastic form of what God can offer you. We cannot chase riches. We cannot chase cars, houses, and land, and business opportunities. We can chase them, but we are not to chase them as we are to chase God. Now, the worst thing that we can do is build a circle for life and have things like our career there, fellowship there, our friends in the wheel, and then put God on the wheel as an outer perimeter. If we do that, then what's going to be in the center? Whatever is in the center is the thing that you love the most. And if it's money, why don't you today trade that for God? If it's houses, trade it for God. If it's wealth, trade it for God. Amen. If it's drugs, trade it for God. Amen. Come on now. If it's whatever it is, trade it for God and put him back in the center where he should be so that the wheel can flow in good motion. Right? Amen. Seems like everything I borrow breaks. I borrowed the church tractor to do a little work and cut some weeds. What do? I break the wheel on the mower thing, the bush hog. I broke the wheel. Man, I got it to a welder as quick as I could. I saw today it's already back on the tractor. I probably didn't need to say it because a lot of people never even knew it. I mean, I broke it bad. But we got it back on there. Amen. The life that we have is borrowed. Everything that we have is borrowed. I like what my pastor told a congregation when he was preaching one time. He said, whatever you have in this life, hold on to it loosely because you may have to give it away. You may lose it. There are people that are so just, and we call them tightwads. I'm not real sure. I've never done the research. I don't really know what that means. But maybe it's because they hold on to things so tight. And they try to figure ways around to where they don't have to give much of it. They don't have to share much of it. Just enough to squeeze by. Just enough to justify how we live and justify what we... Hey, why don't we just loosen up a little bit and give God what belongs to God and serve the Lord as we ought to serve the Lord. Amen. You'd be able to really worship with me right now if everything was okay. Come on, let's make everything okay. Let's get a mindset. Let's get a spirit set that says it doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to God. We can't hold on to the things of this world as if we're going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. What excites me is that, you know, children, they don't understand a lot of things. And I've had my grandson up here praying with me, and every now and then he'd stop me and say, "Is it almost over?" And I said, "No, it's not over," and we'd keep praying. A few minutes later, he said, "Now, there's no harm in that. But when you become a man and you come to prayer and you're wondering, is it almost over? There's something wrong with that." Amen. Something has gotten a hold of us. Amen. Something has gotten a hold of us that's making us think that something out there is so much more important, when we need to understand the Bible said it's not even real. And so it's nothing you're going to be able to hang on to. Amen. But what is real is where we're headed. And so I want to be careful, because I'm headed home. And we need to be careful on our way home. Amen. Now, with that being the last few words I just said, why don't we just raise our hands and ask the Lord to help us to be careful. Help us to be spiritually minded. Help us to take on the persona of the Holy Ghost in all that we have and all that we are and all that we desire to be. Amen. I don't want to be caught up in a whole lot of a challenge with this world. Amen. I don't want to be in competition with somebody that doesn't even know Jesus. Amen. They can have all. Listen, I rode with Cody not long ago on his job, and he delivers and picks up material on these big high-stake jobs, and he told me about this house that was this young couple bought $17 million $17 million in a house. And so I walked up to it. It's like a king's castle. I mean, the door seems like it's about that thick. It's forever tall. You walk into the rooms. 30 minutes in there, and I told Cody, I said, "Cody, I've got to go." He said, what's up? I said, "This is too overwhelming. I can't take it. I've never seen a house like that. I've never been in a house like that. I certainly don't want to own a house like that." Who wants to own a house they want to leave in 30 minutes? I'm serious. That's how overwhelmed I was. I mean, porches on the back deck overlooking the lake that cost more than my house. Hello? Amen. I couldn't fathom it. Amen. We put gravel in our yard. They put a million-pound rocks. I didn't weigh them. I don't know how much but they're huge, and they're everywhere. And a man-made creek and a bridge going across that, and just on and on and on and on, spending more and more and more and more. And so that lets me know that it's never enough. That lets me know that, could it be that the two people that were standing in there today had everything that young couple was really looking for? And it wouldn't even cost $17 million. In about 10 minutes' time, they could repent and be speaking in tongues. And I could baptize them in that creek they made. And they would find everything they've been looking for. So don't you get caught up in what they're doing and what they're having and how they're cheating God and cheating Uncle Sam and pinching and hoarding and trying to figure out how they can get by. Hey, listen to me. You've got everything this world needs. You've got what this world hungers for. You've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. You've got holiness. You've got righteousness. Careful on your way home. It's not real. It's a fantasy. It's selfishness. Amen. You know what? It's kind of like that story in the Bible where it talked about full barns. Look at Luke 12 and 15 through 21 with me here. I want to share this with you. And this is what the man said. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Amen. That's jealousy toward what everybody else has. "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." It did great. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do?" That's where he missed it right there. Amen. He should never have thought that. He should have thought, "God, why did you give me this? Lord, what am I doing with this? How are we going to use this for the glory of God?" We can hear a pin drop now. Amen. But it's funny how that when people are blessed and people have great abundance and good things start flowing their way, then they start thinking about what they are going to do. You better start thinking about who gave it to you to begin with and continue to pray for the will of God and continue to pray for the Spirit of God and continue to pray for the goodness of God. Amen. Yes. Yes, we've got men, women, young people that are going to aspire to great careers and become absolute millionaires. Amen. But if you're making $2 million a year, amen, hello, where's God in all the mix? Listen, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." He's losing it and doesn't even know it. And he said, "This is what I'll do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. There will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods." Oh, what a good game plan. "And I will say to my soul," God's not going to say anything to it, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, chill out, eat, drink, and be merry. This is what you worked for. This was your goal." But God said unto him, "You're a fool. Tonight, your soul that you're speaking of shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And that night he died. That's somebody that was not careful on the way home. Could we praise him again and ask him to help us to be careful on the way home? Could we praise him again and ask him to help us be careful on the way home? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop letting that stuff mean so much. Amen. Stop making things mean so much. Amen. And let God mean everything. Let's let God have the say-so and the ownership. Be careful. Your actions are speaking. Actions do speak louder than words. Amen. And it's just like they say a picture paints 1,000 words. Amen. There are pictures that are mesmerizing to me. I just want to stand there and just stare at them because they're speaking all kinds of words, maybe a memory or something of that sort. And then actions also speak louder than words. You may say one thing in here and act another way out there, but the way you act, that's who you are. The way to assertion or to decipher someone's commitment is by what they give versus what they feel they deserve. Amen. I don't like spending a lot of time with people that feel like they deserve everything. Amen. Because I don't understand that spirit. I know for a fact that I don't deserve anything. And when I'm around people that feel like they deserve everything, I'm confused. I didn't say I don't like them. And don't put words in my mouth. I never said I hate them because I don't hate anybody. Amen. I could miss heaven for having that kind of spirit. Praise God. But I just am not comfortable around people like that because it's confusing to me. Amen. Because you got one person that feels like he deserves nothing and God can have it all back, whatever he has given. Amen. You got another person feeling like I deserve this and I deserve more if I can get my hands on it. And I'll do whatever I've got to do. Whether it's Uncle Sam or God, it don't matter to me. I'll do whatever I got to do to get what I want. that confuses me. It sounds like someone that's not very careful on the way home. Amen. Amen. And so we work. We work in a very selfish and we work in a very self-centered world. And if we're not careful, that will just begin to leak over into us. Amen. We are to be in this world, but the Bible tells us not to be of this world. We can play games with the government and avoid financial hoops because Uncle Sam can't see it. In fact, the matter is, if you want to come right down to it, there's not even an Uncle Sam. But don't do that with God, because there is a God and He can see it. Am I right? The Bible said God so loved the world that He gave. We need to so love God that we give, because He so loved us that He gave. Now, listen. I got to help you out with your reasoning, because I'm not so sure what you're thinking. When I talk about giving, I'm not just talking about finances. Yes, I'm talking about finances, but I'm also talking about that your time. I'm talking about your effort. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about fasting. I'm talking about righteousness. I'm talking about worship. I'm talking about praise. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about mowing every now and then. I'm talking about picking up trash off the. I'm talking about cleaning the toilets. Amen. I'm so proud. I was the first one to clean a toilet over there. Amen. Praise God. Those construction workers, boy, whew. That's as far as I'll go with that, but I got it did. Hallelujah. About threw up, but I got it did. Amen. And so I was about ready to get on the phone and call for the Porter John to come back. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I'm just saying, God was a giver in every way. And that's how He showed His love. Well, how are we going to show our love to Him? By talking about it? I'm a Christian. Yay. I go to church. Yay. God, You're so awesome. Yay. Well, what are You going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to give? How are we going to share? How are we going to care? How are we going to make this? Is it all about your family? Does what your family need motivate you to do something for God because it's going to fit my family? Is that what it takes? Then you better put your seatbelt on, because there's some sickness coming. There's disease coming. God will do whatever it takes to get a hold of you and make a difference in your life. Amen. But if we can just voluntarily, while we're healthy, while we got a little money, while we got a little substance, while we've got a few things, if we could just jump straight up and say, Lord, here I am. I don't have to have cancer to be motivated. I don't have to be half dead to get motivated. You don't have to divorce. I don't have to have a divorce. I don't have to go to court. I don't need life support for you to get my attention. I love what Pastor's talking about right now. I needed that. I want to be more careful about my journey on the way home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People live their lives like there's no heaven or hell. I'm telling you, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Amen. So the condition of the heart is the possession, or the position we are in right now. That's where we are in this world. That's where we are in the church. That's where we are as Christians. That's where everybody is as sinners. It's the condition of the heart. That's where everything is. How can people murder another person? It's the condition of the heart. How can people steal from another individual? Not long ago, I heard the story. A lady murdered an old man in his residence, and they asked her why she did that after she was caught. She said, I heard he had $300. I didn't have $300. How do people go into a drug abuse, alcohol, all of this, child abuse? Hello? How does this, it's a heart thing. How can a man sit down and conjure ways to get by and justify not having to support the kingdom as much as God has blessed them? Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's who you are. I know this. In all these areas of giving, if you give, you'll get. But if you withhold, you will regret. These are serious times, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very serious times. God needs very serious saints. With these serious times, God needs serious children of God. Amen. A crowd this large, there's people in here that really probably don't even want to be. There's people in here that wouldn't be anywhere else in the world. You see the difference? It's a heart thing. But everyone in here can condition your heart to be receptive to whatever God wants, because it's your choice. You govern your heart and tell your heart what you hunger for and what you thirst for. It's not a time for weakness. It's not a time for compromise. It's not a time for skimming and scamming. Amen. It's not a time for limited commitment. Pretty serious today, huh? When you want less of God and more stuff, you're in trouble. And you're not being very careful on your way home. Amen. We need the character of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to look at this church. And I love it, because most of you do. You have taken ownership. It's the funniest thing. I wish Jeremy Tyer was here to defend himself, but I'm going to talk about him since he's not here. I love to talk about people when they're not here. Amen. We were showing someone the new building. I think it was Matthew Drake. They came up, and people going to youth convention and stuff like that, and all that came together, and we were showing him the building. I was walking behind the crowd, and Brother Tyer was up there with Matthew Drake, and he got to show him this and that, and then Brother Tyre says, I was going to do this, but I really didn't like that, and so I did this instead. And I thought, you go, Jeremy. That's ownership. I was going to do this, but I decided not to, because I did. That was his expertise, and I turned him loose to do it, because he owns the church just as much as I do. He's given to it just as much as I give. If he's not careful the way he's doing, the Lord's blessed him so much, he's going to wind up giving more than I give. Hello? And sacrifice. Amen. The guy lives over there. He and Stephanie, they live in that church. They're constantly over there working. If they're not painting, they're doing something. That all of this. And then Jeremy's over there meeting with this guy, meeting with that person, meeting with this individual, doing that. Amen. And now I'm calling on Jeremy Tyre, but there's many of you out here, but you're here. I can't talk about you. And so, but he's not here, so I'm going to talk about him. But that let me know right then. I felt it in my heart. I said, Jeremy will be here till the day he dies, because he owns this place. It's time for some of you to take on ownership. This is not their church. This is not, preacher, I love your church. Don't you start saying, I love my church. Amen. Because you're going to give to what you love. And you're going to share with what you love. Hallelujah. You're not going to worry about so much getting it back. But you'll be glad to give it and glad to share it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I came into the office a few months ago, and there was an envelope laying on the floor, completely anonymous, and cash in there. And those of you who are here today to ask for money, it's already spent. But just let me say this. They shoved an envelope under the door. It was laying in my office. I opened it up, and they're laying cash money, $7,000. And they left a note and said, I want to make the first payment of the church. And then I almost had a heart attack because I didn't come to Lexington to have a $7,000 a month payment, which is fixing to turn into $9,000 because we had to go back for another loan. $9,000 a month? Hello? I got more than the flu now. I got a nervous breakdown coming on. Hello? Amen. But that's not going to bother me, because I'm not the only one that has taken on ownership. There are others out there that have taken on. Listen, listen. We want to continue to bring these people that hang out at the shelter. We want to bring them to church until they get their feet on the ground and get stabilized again in life and all of that. We want to bring you to church and work with all of that. But the bus, the batteries broke. The one bus got two alternators and they broke. And lo and behold, Sister Bolden, the individual that operates the ministry, it ought to be enough that she's got the burden for the ministry. But that ain't enough for her. What does she do? She walks up after speaking to Ronnie, her husband, and donates $500 so we can replace alternators and batteries and keep the bus going. She's got a burden for it, and she's also pouring out money on it. Hey, that's ownership. That's a burden. That's a passion. Incidentally, I can talk about her because she's not here. Who else can I talk about here? Praise God. Amen. It just goes on and on and on. There are people like that all over this congregation. Praise God. Just the other day, I might be boring some of you, but this is needed. Amen. Brother Bobby was out there with Brother Curtis working on the buses. Amen. We got one paying for the parts. We got the other two putting them on. Some can afford the parts. Some can't. Some can buy them. Some can put them on. Praise God. This just as important. And the temperature that day, Brother Bobby, was pretty near 100 degrees, wasn't it? Brother Curtis got so hot until Brother Bobby made him go sit in the truck and turn the air conditioning on. And all they were doing was out there working on the bus so we could continue to. Hey, listen, you don't just go out there and lay hands on the bus and say, Lord, heal these alternators. He's done that in the past, I'm sure, and he'll do it in the future again. But sometimes it just takes plain out somebody in the church saying, hey, this is my church. I got to make this stuff work. Okay, some of you are getting uncomfortable, so let me get spiritual right now. Amen. This is my church, and so why should I have to wait on somebody else to worship God? Why should I wait on somebody else to praise the name of Jesus? Why should I wait on somebody else to go to the altar and get what they need from the Lord? That altar is my altar. This praise is my praise. This worship is my worship. This is my house. This is my house. This is the house of God where I worship my God. This is where I raise my family. Family. This is where I own this. This is all a part of me. It's all a part of being very, very careful on your way home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. My, 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 my. Serious times. Can you say amen? Praise God. Take honor and ownership. Take honor and ownership. Praise God. Hallelujah. My, my, my. You got time for a couple more little stories? Last 2 days, Sister Pickett's been down there on a ladder painting Welcome Center behind the welcome desk. Beautiful. The font and all that's black, and lights are shining on it. Just beautiful. Amen. just made the, all we had to do was make her aware of the need, and she jumped right on it. Praise God. Her husband was there with donuts and cookies. I ate one too. I better be careful. They're here. Amen. Jamie Cox is not here. Hallelujah. She's doing artwork for the... Sister Cox, how much this is... Nothing. Nothing. This is my church. Sister Shane, how much do you... We can... We'll give you... No, 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 no. This is my church. Huh. And if you've got spirit... If you got people like, you're going to move the world. Listen, ain't no big me's and little you's here. We're all the same. Amen. Hallelujah. What was it I read the other day? It said, all, let's see. I'm not going to get it right. It said, all my life, I've been working hard and I don't have any, hardly anything. And it looks like I'm going to spend the rest of my life with the same amount. That's something like what it said. Hallelujah. And so, I mean, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't land. It just isn't there. It's because somebody said, I'm taking ownership. And I'm going to do this part. I'm going to be a part of this. Praise God. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I know I'm preaching with the flu head. Hallelujah. Amen. But, take honor and ownership. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me say something to the moms and dads. Your children. And you can prove me wrong, and I hope you do. But your children very, very seldom will rise above your commitment. If anything, they will be less than what you are. Because the devil likes to drag families down generation by generation. And so if you even want to keep put your kids on the level of commitment we are right now, maybe we need to move it up another notch. But your children will very, very seldom rise above your commitment. So stand for God or fall for anything. You say, oh, I wouldn't fall for anything. Through the process of time, you can't say what you would do. Stand for truth. Stand for righteousness. Let's stand together. There's overcoming in here today. If I could just get some folks to look into the mirror. Can I ask you to look into the mirror? You say, what mirror? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to show you. James 1, 23 through 25. Here's the mirror I want you to look at. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he looks at himself and then he just goes his way. And then he forgets what he was, what he looked at. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continues in the word of God, being not forgetful, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Everybody say the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You know what it is? It's a lack of trust. It's a lack of faith in God. We do it ourselves because we just don't think God's going to do it. We don't see any way God's going to do it. But I have seen it too many times, and I will continue to preach it. I've seen God bless people that you never thought he would have blessed because they were such a blessing to the kingdom. Don't miss out on what God really has for you by holding on to what you've got for yourself. Amen. What are... These are a couple of things we need to ask ourselves in the mirror while we're looking at ourselves. What are your motives? What motivates you? What's your motives here? What is your real nature? And what am I hungry for, really? What am I hungry for, really? Perhaps today may be the first day that you even meet yourself. You've never taken the time to introduce yourself to yourself, to really look at the man in the mirror, or woman, or young person. Maybe this is the first day you're beginning to see yourself. But I like that chorus. I hate to spring this on you. I don't know if you could help me or not, but it says, just to walk with him means everything to me. Just to know his hand is right there. What is it guiding me or leading me? I'm calling for people. And I apologize because I know that this has not penetrated the minds of everybody. And I hate to waste your time. But I'm calling on people that this really matters to walk with him. It doesn't mean something. It doesn't mean a part of my life. It doesn't mean a part of my lifestyle. But to walk with him, that it means everything to you. Everything. I want to invite you to come and stand with me. And let's look in the mirror together. And see if there's some changes that we perhaps we could make. One step at a time. One moment at a time. One day at a time. We're not asking anybody to arrive. We're just asking you to make a change. Hallelujah. Tell him what you're going to do with him. Tell him what you're going to do with him. Hallelujah.
Oh, just to know.
Just to know.
His hand is there. Leading me. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Though the world pass me by.
To walk with him.